Good morning. My name is Tony, and I'll be your conference operator. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Megacable's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Kenya Vargas with iAdvize Corporate Communications for opening remarks.
Thank you, and welcome to Megacable's third quarter 2018 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce Megacable's management and today's presenters. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the quarterly results before moving on to the Q&A session. It is important to mention that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, the company's performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and could materially change throughout the year. Please review the complete disclaimer presented in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. You may contact us at 212-406-3696 if you didn't receive the quarterly report or if you need any assistance. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Let me begin with a brief overview of the third quarter, a period in which we were able to continue growing the subscriber across all three segments of the massive market. This growth, together with reaching the highest ARPU per unique subscriber in the history of the company, resulted in a double-digit increase at the top line. On the corporate side, MetroCarrier also supported this growth with very attractive rates and with positive outlook for the following years. However, there were challenges to the period. First, we observed a slowdown in the economic growth following the election period, marked by lower consumption and lower investment levels, as well as delays in government-related projects. This is not uncommon following a big electoral process like the one we just went through in Mexico, and we were not surprised. It is important to point out that client diversification throughout our corporate segment operations helped us mitigate the impact of this initial slowdown, and we expect that normal growth levels should resume once the new administration is in place, beginning of the next year. Also, during the quarter, we saw some of our operations affected by weather conditions, especially floods in the states of Sonora and Sinaloa, coupled with the holiday period. The weather-related issues reduced the total numbers of active working days for the company, thereby lowering the growth levels that we had been seeing in previous quarters. Particularly during the floods, the strength and reliability of our service were put to test. However, as always, we focused all our efforts and technology on restoring service for our customers as quickly as possible. With regards to the massive market, Megacable achieved subscriber growth across all three segments, reaching 2.19 RUUs per unique subscriber as a result of our successful bundling strategy focused on the sale of triple play packages. Broadband service remains one of the main drivers within the company. As such, we remain focused in improving network capacity in order to support the standard speeds required by our subscribers. With that, demand for speed prevails and will continue to rise. Here at Megacable, we are determined to continue keeping up with the pace. Video segment also grew even with the challenging environment. The strategy remains to provide subscribers with an enjoyable experience, enhanced by additional products such as XView and HD, which provide customers with interactive features and high-end service. Finally, telephony continues to benefit from our bundling strategy and continues to expand despite the constricted market. During the quarter, ARPU per unique subscriber reached record figures, and we are certain that there continues to be a lot of room for growth for this line, which remains one of the lowest of the industry. The corporate segment once again saw significant revenue increases, mainly driven by Metro Carrier, which continues to grow not only in the cities where the operations are supported by the Massive segment, but also in the cities where we only serve the corporate market, which is gaining participation in the total revenue of the company. Moving on the financials, the company concluded the quarter with 47.9% margin, while EBITDA for cable operations reached a 49.9% margin. Megacable continues to achieve positive cash flows with conservative net debt levels, despite the continuous investment in upgrades and technology during the quarter, which are required to grow the business in the middle and long term. With respect to the MVNO during the quarter, we managed to conclude the contractual part of the process. Once the operational and marketing details are finalized, we will be ready for the product launch, which, as we mentioned in the previous conference call, will take place at the end of the first quarter of 2019. With no doubt, the MVNO will help us to greatly complement the integral service we provide our subscribers by allowing us to take better advantage of the assets we have available. Thanks for your time and attention at this time. I will turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they can walk you through additional details regarding the company's operational and financial results. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Let's review the operating results for the quarter. Regarding the Massive market, we reached 7.8 million RUs at the end of the quarter, representing a 14% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2017. RUs per unique subscriber rose to 2.19 from the 2.06 recorded last year, mainly as a result of a successful bundling strategy aimed towards selling triple play packages. As Enrique mentioned, economic, seasonality, and climatic situations during the quarter lowered the growth levels that we had been reaching in previous quarters, mainly in the video and broadband segments. However, as a result of the company's operational strength, we were able to continue growing in the three segments of the Massive market at a higher pace than the market. The broadband segment continues to grow, and during the quarter it rose to 2.9 million subscribers, recording 380,000 net adds, or a 15% increase when compared to the third quarter of 2017. On a quarterly basis, 78,000 net adds were reached, representing 3% growth over the previous quarter. The company continues to focus on delivering reliable service with continuous investment in the network, splitting nodes, and improving technology to provide enough bandwidth to satisfy subscriber consumption demands. As evidence of the aforementioned, at this moment, 65% of Megacable subscriber base has a minimum speed of 20 megabits, compared to only 45% of the subscriber base at the end of September 2017. We're certain that broadband will play an important role in the years to come. Additionally, in an effort to provide added services to our users, Megacable also continues to invest in increasing its Metro Wi-Fi footprint in public places, reaching more than 7,300 hotspots, a 15% increase when compared to September of last year, thus improving the connectivity capability of our subscribers. The video segment reached 3.2 million subs, increasing 7% or 210,000 net adds when compared to the third quarter of 2017. On a quarterly basis, we reached 26,000 net adds. Despite the challenges during the quarter, we continue to trust the strength of the business model that we have created in the video segment. Without a doubt, the efforts in previous quarters to achieve healthier additions have allowed us to offset the effects of adverse market conditions. The digitalization process continues to be a company priority. At the end of the quarter, 82% of our subscriber base was fully digital through approximately 4.9 million set-top boxes, compared to 77% at the end of September 2017. Regarding Xview, we reached 395,000 subscribers, a 19% increase compared to the second quarter of 2018. As in the previous quarters, we continue to receive positive feedback from our subscribers regarding the use of the platform. Likewise, we continue gathering valuable statistics from the platform regarding consumption habits and characteristics of our NGV service that are most liked by the users, thereby generating important data for the company that will allow us to make the improvements and the content additions that are necessary in order to take the platform to the next level. Telephony continues to benefit from our bundling strategy. We recorded 355,000 net adds when compared to the same quarter last year, a 26% increase to reach 1.7 million subs. On a quarterly basis, we grew by 7% or 114,000 net adds. Driven by the successful bundling strategy, the overall product mix continues to shift toward triple plays, which now account for 43% of total subscribers, compared to 36% a year ago. Double and single packages now represents 33% and 24% of the portfolio, respectively, compared to 33% and 31% a year ago. ARPU per unique subscriber continues its positive growth trend to reach 377.8 pesos, a record figure for the company. This was driven by higher RGUs per unique subscribers as a result of the bundling strategy. Coupled with higher rates for current subscribers, new products with higher ARPU contribution and complementary services such as Xview and HD. Video churn reached 2.7%, which is at the same level as last year, but higher than the 2.4% recorded during the second quarter of this year, mainly affected by the economic and seasonal situations that Enrique mentioned earlier in the call. Broadband rose to 2.6%, slightly increasing from the 2.5% recorded in the third quarter of 2017, and from the 2.4% recorded in the previous quarter, also affected by the aforementioned. On the other hand, telephony improved on a yearly and quarterly basis to reach 3.9% as a result of a change in the bundling strategy, which now includes this service as part of a double and triple play packages, and not as a single service. Lastly, with regards to the corporate telecom segment, it continues to deliver excellent results. As such, we remain one key market player, with MetroCarrier at the forefront as the main revenue growth driver, increasing 40% compared to the third quarter of 2017, mainly as a result of a more diversified customer base. This base includes organic operations and the off-net cities such as Mexico City, Monterrey, Cancún, and Mérida, where we do not participate in the massive market segment, but are gaining traction as this market become more relevant to the portfolio. Additionally, MCM grew 15%, while ho1a declined due to a delay in the execution of government and private projects. As we mentioned, we expect that this will return to normal levels once the new administration takes over and is instituted. As we have in the past, Megacable will continue to focus on the correct execution of the strategy we have set for ourselves. We are confident that the strength of our massive market business, together with the versatility and diversity of our corporate business portfolio that has an established significant growth trend, will continue to allow us to overcome the challenges that could arise in the future. Thank you. Luis will take us through the financial at this time. Luis?
Thank you, Raymundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details regarding the financial figures prior to taking your questions. Consolidated revenues for the third quarter rose to 4.8 billion pesos, representing an 11% increase when compared to the same quarter of previous year. However, in the third quarter of 2017, we recorded a non-recurrent revenue, the compensation received for the 2.5 GHz band recall. Excluding this amount, revenue growth for this quarter was 13%. Regarding the massive market, we recorded revenue increase in all three segments, despite the challenging environment we experienced during the quarter, including the economic slowdown and the temporary setbacks in terms of the number of work days due to the vacation periods and the adverse weather conditions. Video, broadband, and telephony grew 11%, 17%, and 4% respectively when compared to the same quarter of last year. Regarding the corporate telecom service segment, as Raimundo mentioned, revenues grew by 20% during the quarter, mainly as a result of a 40% increase in MetroCarrier, which continues to be the main growth driver within the segment. Additionally, MCM grew 15%, while OLA declined 5% affected by deferrals in government projects, as well as delays in companies' CapEx investments due to the uncertain changes mainly on the new government. Regarding the revenue breakdown by segment, video contributed with 42% of total consolidated income. Broadband telephony accounted for 32% and 9% respectively. Corporate represents now 17% of the total revenue. Cost of services increased 17% when compared to the same quarter of last year, mainly programming costs, new boarding crossings linked to increased traffic capacity, lower capitalization than previous year are the main causes for the SG&A increasing 17%. Sorry, cost. SG&A increased only 7% as a result of the operational efficiencies. As a result, Megacable reached a consolidated EBITDA figure of 2.3 billion pesos, representing an 11% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2017. And with an EBITDA margin of 47.8, practically in line with the third quarter of previous year, EBITDA for cable operations reached 2.1 billion pesos, recording an 11% increase when compared to last year, and adjusted EBITDA margin reached basically 50%. Net profit reached 1.1 billion pesos, recording 4% growth when compared to the third quarter of previous year. Growth below EBITDA level is explained by higher depreciation resulted from larger level of investment in previous years or quarters, as well as higher tax rate and higher net comprehensive financing costs. Megacable reached a net debt position of 687 million pesos at the end of the quarter, a 32% increase on a sequential basis with the second quarter of this year. A result of the continuous cash flow generation of the company representing 0.1 times net debt to EBITDA ratio at the end of the period. Interest coverage ratio reached 23 times. Finally, regarding CapEx, Megacable invested 1.4 billion pesos during the third quarter, representing 30% of total revenues of the period, while on year-to-date basis reached 29%. Most of these resources were allocated towards increasing network capacity, acquisition of subscriber terminal equipment, partitioning nodes to increase network capacity, construction of new kilometers, investment in special projects such as the submarine cable and network modernization. Also, during the quarter, we acquired the 49% of the stock remaining that were outstanding from OLA, which now becomes 100% a subsidiary of Megacable. Thank you for your attention. We will now open the floor for your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, simply press star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw yourself at any time by pressing the pound or hash key. Again, that is star and one to ask your question. We'll take our first question from Alejandro Golostra with BBVA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and thank you very much for the call. My first question it's related to your comments about the political dislocating almost every business, but especially the corporate business. So I was wondering if you're already seeing a recovery here, or if this is something that should continue in the fourth quarter as well, and perhaps if this is something that could change your growth expectations for this business in the short term. And my second question is related to the MVNO launch that you plan to launch in the first quarter of next year. If you could give us additional information about your expectations for subscribers and margins and basically the overall economics of this business. Thank you.
Yes, Alejandro. Every 6 years we have the change of government. This year was stronger because of the candidates that we were having. Once we know the candidates, the whole system for everybody is clear now. We know what's coming into the future. There's more trust that we had before. And every time we slow down, mostly it does affect all, not Metro Carrier or not that much MCM. That's why our results for all were lower in the third quarter. And regarding government, should be the same on the fourth quarter, because most of the new assignments will pass to the new administration. However, OLA does not only sell to government, it's really spread out, and we have good expectations that once everything is clear for private enterprises, we will recover the pace in OLA too. What happened in the third quarter is that not only government, but also private enterprises slowed down the decisions until they knew what was going to come in terms of exchange rate, political situation, economic policies. And once we have the first speech and looking into what's coming into the future, we believe that those projects that we have in OLA will come back to track on the fourth quarter. So even though it's not going to be the best year for OLA, we expect to recover part of the track that it had before. And of course, Metro Carrier and MCM will continue to deliver excellent results like they had in the previous quarter. Regarding your second question, the MVNO, we expect to be on the market in the first half of next year, pretty much in the first quarter, at the end of first quarter. And those numbers, we're looking into reaching. Remember that what we did is we signed a contract so far with Red Compartida. Red Compartida has different stages of delivering the service. The first step accounts for 10 of Mega Cable cities, and the second one will bring more of the Mega Cable to the market. So for the first one, we're forecasting to launch in March and then come back again on June or July. And altogether, we're thinking conservative to have around 100,000 subscribers for the first year. Those one will not bring an additional EBITDA for the company in the first year, because it's you have some expenses and fees of launching that needs to be provided over a more larger base of subscribers. What we can tell you is that we are not going to do any CapEx investment like we said in the past. It's going to be completely on an OPEX and variable revenue and expense. So it won't affect the CapEx of the company, and it will affect a little bit the margin regarding that product, but we expect second, third, 4 years to be increasing to reach a good level margins for the product that will come.
Sure. And Alejandro, if you recall, we have been stating that our target is to reach 1 million subscribers in 5 years, basically. And gross margins will help you a little bit to allocate where is this going to be. It's around 25% gross margin. So of course there are some additional expenses that we have to do on our side, but basically, as Raimundo said, launching and other expenses at the beginning will show no EBITDA for the first year of this service.
Even though the margin is not cable margin, that's for sure.
It's not.
is not cable CapEx either, but it will represent an additional gross EBITDA for the company, and that's where we're focusing, and hopefully a quadruple play and more advantages.
Retention
for our subscribers. Also, our corporate and enterprise subscribers as well.
Great. Thank you. Did you say 25% gross margin or EBITDA margin? And when do you expect to reach peak?
No. Yeah, gross margin, as we said, will be surrounding 25%.
Gross margin.
Yes. Yes, gross.
Yes.
Breakeven on EBITDA?
Second, third year.
Third year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
By 2020, we'll get breakeven.
Breakeven.
For that business unit.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for your answers.
No, thank you, Alejandro, for the interest.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Arturo Langa with Itaú BBA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. I had a question regarding first, you mentioned the impact of the floods in the northwest of the Mexican country. I was wondering if you have a sensibility of what maybe revenue growth or EBITDA growth would have looked like if this didn't happen, just to get a sense of how many days, for example, those regions were out of service maybe. Is this gonna be a recurring issue also in the fourth quarter, considering the recent hurricanes that were also present in the northwest of Mexico? That would be my first question. Second is, in the MVNO, would fixed broadband be a product you're gonna be offering through that as well, or is it just gonna be focused on mobile at the beginning? Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo. Well, exact numbers for the first question is gonna be really, really tough to calculate because there are several factors that affect. Megacable has a strong presence in the northwest region. That's why we mentioned that. It's one of our most important subscriber base in the states of Sonora, Sinaloa, and La Baja. There is several factors why we mention not only that. That affects the subscriber of three main cities, Los Mochis, Culiacán, and Obregón, to be exact. What happened is people at that time, we have to be sympathetic with them, with economics. They could not come to the offices. We could not go and sell. We do a lot of door-to-door. What we saw during the period is that even though our gross adds in the company did not decline as a full volume, they did not reach the goals that we were expecting because of all those days that we could not sell in the Pacific. Also, as a region, the Pacific or Northwest was the region that we have the less growth. Even we did not have any growth in subscribers. We have a slight negative subscriber base on that part because of what I'm telling you, that people cannot work because of the rainy days and the flooding that they were having. We depend a lot on that part. Also, there are other factors that affect us in that part and some other areas is the seasonality of the summer season and of course, the political situation that has slowed down the economy. We saw that even though our gross adds did not decline, they remained pretty much in the levels that we had before. You know, we could not reach the levels we were expecting. We did have an increase in the churn. I'm going a little bit ahead of more questions with regarding the trend. The increase in the churn of those came because of everything I'm telling you right now. You know, people that was affecting because of the flood, people that got hooked because of the a few of them because of the World Cup also. Some of them, we have an increase in churn because of the seasonality. That's why our churn increased to the levels of the normal season, you know, like a little bit slight above last year, but regular for August, September on that part. We could not reach the gross add level that we were expecting because of the rain on the back-to-school campaign. That's why we have a slowdown in all of the products. We do not expect the hurricane that you mentioned. We're already past that part. Of course, we're on hurricane season at the same time, you know. It's not going to be the first time that we had that, and we will be dealing with them
as they come. You know, our network is ready, and normally we do this kind of going for the subscriber and slow down. Rain should slow down, you know, not hurricane, and we should compensate that with other markets that we could sell on the fourth quarter higher with more days that we could increase the gross adds. So we expect for fourth quarter to increase. Also during the fourth quarter, people have more money than what we have. You know, we're coming. We will have the Buen Fin, you know, the Black Friday, like we call it in Mexico, and we normally have the end of the year aguinaldos,
Christmas
bonus. So all together, we expect the fourth quarter to turn around what we have during the seasonal season of the summer.
So we expect much better fourth quarter than the third quarter.
Okay. And regarding the second question, yes, we are expecting to do fixed broadband, but mostly for suburban areas or rural areas where we don't reach with our network, and in some parts as a complement to our Metro Carrier connectivity service that we have as a primary service, the fixed broadband could be of good use as a secondary or redundancy where we can have. That will be the use for fixed broadband.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much. That was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Fred Mendez with Bradesco. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. I mean, I just want to get a better understanding of the impact from the programming costs in EBITDA margins, and what can we expect for the next quarters. This would be my first question. And then my second question is, how are you seeing the competition in the broadband segment? I mean, are you seeing your major competitor upgrading its network to fiber, or not really? Those would be the two questions. Thank you.
Yes, Fred. Okay, regarding the programming costs, we did have this year, and during the season, during this quarter, we have the increase in programming in some of our vendors. That programming cost is going to remain at that level and percentage that you have, but what we expect is to have a better margin in video as we can pass that programming increase to our subscriber, as we mentioned, through the rate increase that we have at the end of the quarter that are going to increase slightly our ARPU. So even so, programming was part of our guidance, and it is according in line to everything that we were forecasting. Actually, it's the same level that we have. Pretty much, it did not increase that much, but it does increase compared to last year in that part. What we are waiting is to increase fourth quarter a better revenue because of the money that people have, and the aforementioned rate increase that we have at the end of the third quarter. Those two should increase slightly our ARPU plus the RUs, and will bring our margin and our cost of programming, make it have less impact on what we have right now. Regarding competition in broadband, we do have competition in broadband coming from all the companies in that part, from Telmex, from Total Play, from Easy in some of our markets.
Axtel
too. And what we have, as we said in our speech, is we continue to invest in the network, so our subscriber base will continue to increase above 20 megabits. Every quarter we have more people above or at least with 20 megabits. But we are ready and we have enough capacity to increase those speeds if we need, with no significant impact, because what we are doing is preparing the network for higher speeds in the future with the capex that you see in the third quarter and the second quarter. So we are very, very, very aware of the broadband needs of our subscribers to come in the future. And that's where we're putting our money in the network. Also, as you know, we're investing in submarine cable to get take away the pressure of the cost of broadband in the Baja, in the peninsula of Baja California, which is has the big impact in our broadband OPEX comes from the La Baja. That one is gonna have a saving in our broadband for next year. Pretty much we will have that impact after first quarter, around April, and it's going to be taken as soon as we can cancel the contracts that we have there. So you will see during 2019 a saving La Baja. And also the cost of broadband IP connectivity in the U.S. continue to decline. So we expect to have a better still margin in broadband in the future. So we're ready in terms of P&L, and we're ready in terms of increasing our broadband speed to the subscriber.
Perfect. Very, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Carlos de la Garreta. Please go ahead. Your line is open, and Carlos is with GBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for taking the question. Just very briefly on the Ola acquisition, just wanted to confirm the amount. It's $432 million, and that implies some price-to-sales multiple around 1.4 times. I don't know if that makes sense to you, or given the EBITDA that you disclosed, that will be 7.2 times, which seems low for an IT company. Could you comment on this, please?
Well, you're right on the amount. That's basically the result, and it was basically part of an agreement that was since day one and the contract that we signed with them. And that calculation is not just for today's result. It's been for the growth and for the entire meaning of the company. But yes, you're right on the amount.
Okay, thank you, Luis. So the second question is a little specific to the churn in telephony, noticing that it's been declining for a while. And I'm just wondering if there's a specific strategy. It seems it has been successful, but you know, if you can detail a little bit more about it. Thank you.
Yes, telephony is a service that is has every time less and less use of the subscribers. What we've been is very effective in terms of bundling that with broadband and video. And if you're coming from the from looking into comparing to the past figures of churn, the churn was really, really high because the base of telephony was very, very low. And the number of subscribers that were acquiring the triple play services, they came on the hand of broadband and video. So it does affect the churn of telephony with a higher percentage. With the growth of 20% approx, for saying a number for telephony, it does increase the base every year and every quarter. So the churn declines as a percentage of telephony, but you have to look at our numbers every day more as a triple play company that sells a single package that that has video, voice, and data. And if one day our 2.19 REUs per unit subscriber will reach, well, never, but will reach 3.0. At that time, gross ads, net ads, and churn of the triples will be the same, you know. But right now, we still have that, those funny numbers that, that takes. So again, telephony, our strategy is to bundle it. The price of telephony is included. If you try to cancel telephony, really the savings are really low. Also, has promotion that comes in the same time and help us do one single price with a higher ARPU. And that's part of why we in Mega Cable continue to increase our ARPU because we provide a full service and we don't give that much option to subscribers unless it's a very specific market. So that's our strategy, Carlos.
Oh, thank you. That's very clear. And finally, if I may, would it be possible for you to more or less give us an idea of the amount within the corporate segment that comes from government. I'm particularly worried about the comments of the incoming administration about the reducing the expenditure going forward. Thank you.
No, we don't have a strong dependency on government. We're one of the few corporate companies that do not depend. The only one that has a higher percentage and gets affected is Ola, because we sell a lot of infrastructure, and the main buyer of infrastructure is the federal government on that part. That also goes to the state government and municipal government. So it hits everything on that part, which are the ones that require more number of switches, router, Wi-Fi access, and integrated and managed services. But for the rest, MetroCarrier and MCM does not depend that much on government. I can tell you that does not exceed 25% of our revenue.
Less than that. Less than that if you take into account the total amounts of MCM, Ola, and MetroCarrier. Yeah, it'll be a little bit less. Yeah.
So as you see, it's not that we're depending on that part. But right now, after every 6 years, and mostly this time, it does not only affect the decision of the government. Everybody does slow down investments on the private sector until we wait to see how the new elected government was going to behave in terms of economy. Once we saw what is coming, we've been talking to people and they are going back, talking to the industries, and those projects that they have that they were planning to delay, they will pretty much materialize in fourth quarter and first quarter of next year on the private sector. The only one that is going to slow down Ola will be the federal, which it was considered in our business plan, but not as high as it was because of how the results were on the election. So we're not a company that is started on that. That's why I mentioned that we have off-net services being selling MetroCarrier, raising 40% year over year. We're selling in Monterrey, Mexico City. We're selling in our cities. And to be honest, we don't depend on government. Maybe we should sell more. It's easier to do one sale of a bigger ARPU than to sell so many subscribers lower. But so far, our strategy is of a much more effort and execution, but continue to provide those 40 and 50% growth from MetroCarrier.
That's perfect. Thank you for the comments.
No, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. And next we'll move to Marcelo Santos with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. I wonder if you could comment a little bit on the potential to grow homes passed. So we see you added a little bit more than 300,000 homes passed in the last year. And could you share with us how many homes are in the cities you cover, how many of them you would consider as addressable market, and if you would be willing to go to other cities?
Yes, Marcelo.
Marcelo.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, in terms of our homes passed, right now we have more than 8 million homes passed in our network, and we are covering basically close to 90% of the concession areas with our network. That's basically for the residential business. We grow about 2,500 to 3,000 new kilometers every year. And basically that's growing the current cities that we cover. And as the cities grow, we expect to grow as well. Population in Mexico is still growing. And also the people per home, it's been reduced. So we are now coming from a 4.2, then 4, now below 4 people per home. And with the same population, even you need more homes. Now with population growing, you have more homes. And basically the equation at the end is that we expect still growth in the residential business. And that is true for video, for broadband, and for telephony as well.
And you can expect that normal growth of around 3.5% in home pass coming from the growth of population, like Luis is saying. What helps us a lot is the decrease of number of people per home. as he was saying, and we will continue to invest and reach those numbers. We pretty much cover the majority of the market of the cities where we are. So that Compass covers all the residential and SMBs of the cities that we are actually providing service of the massive market. You mentioned that if we have plans to go to other cities. We all the time we study the potentials of going to other cities and look very carefully into the returns of investment that we could have in those. We right now are focused next year into growing our corporate segment that is bringing with a low capex like we have done in the past, or a very affordable capex, revenues of 40 to 50%. We're focusing on increasing Mexico City, Monterrey, Juarez and Cancun that we already have, and open two or three more cities in the corporate segment because that's the one that we can manage at the same time. We're focusing to providing the MVNO and be successful in that part and to continue to deploy our XView and next generation services in all the cities where we are. So focusing to increase 2.19 RUs to a higher number. That one is a rule of like a Bible for us. And that's what we're focused to.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Marcelo.
Thank you. And next we'll move to Juan Pablo Alva with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just one quick question. I just wanted to check with you how comfortable do you feel with the guidance that you have in terms of EBITDA and subscriber acquisition for the full year, considering the recovery in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
We think we are still sticking to our guidance. We will reach, as we said, the numbers that we mentioned in the last call. It's going to be tight, but I think we are going to be reaching those numbers.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And my second question, if you could provide us a little bit of sense, have you seen any indication from Red Compartida that they will start demand in the fourth quarter or in the first quarter of 2019? And how big that impact be for MetroCarrier?
Oh, you mean demand for more services?
Yeah, for your role as a supplier of fiber to them.
Red Compartida we had is a great customer of us in that part, and we're waiting for 2019 for them to see if they will continue to grow to new cities. Right now, what we have is already agree with them and contract with them and provide to them, and it's part of what you are looking into our revenue stream coming into the future. So we will wait for 2019 to participate and see if we can be awarded more links and revenue coming from them. Right now we don't have anything going on, but on the reverse side, us being a customer of them, that's what we are focused.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Coella with Scotiabank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. So according to the regulator, Toifetel, broadband penetration in metropolitan areas is starting to reach saturation, actually surprising, but starting to reach saturation. For example, in Mexico City, according to Toifetel, penetration broadband is at 96%. And according also to the regulator, in Jalisco, in Nuevo León, for example, 76%, and in Jalisco, 63% of households, which suggests that specifically in the case of Guadalajara, probably broadband penetration is even higher. So I was wondering if in your view, we are starting to reach some saturation in some metropolitan areas, broadband penetration, and if this is the case, what's going to be your future growth strategy? I think you already discussed some fixed broadband opportunities in semi-rural areas or rural areas, but I'm just wondering if you are noticing this saturation or if you still see, growth opportunity in your largest markets. That would be my first question.
Yes, Andres. We're going to review those numbers with the regarding the IFETEL. The numbers that we have are different. We do not have in any market 96% penetration of broadband for sure. And you are right, in some cities like Guadalajara, penetration is higher than small town, but not that different also. And what we see is that we still have room to grow for sure. Every year the market will continue to increase. It does at a lower pace than it did 3, 4, 5 years ago. That's understandable. But the product should continue to increase rates of penetration in the years to come on a lower base. Yes,
I would think that the numbers from IFT are considering the broadband that people have in their mobile phones. So that adds, if a family has a mobile phone with a broadband, they are counted as a phone that has a broadband service. But that's a better limited service. It does not compare with the fixed broadband that we provide to the families in the homes. So I would say that, okay, well, that would be the case.
So clearly there's a disconnect between the regulator's numbers and what you are suggesting, but not to be clear, these are fixed broadband subscribers, according to IFETEL. I can take it offline and share it with you. It did call our attention to see such high numbers in Mexico City in particular. My second question is on the corporate business. I mean, the metro carrier growth of 40% was very impressive. And I was wondering, you know, which are the industries or the segments where Metro Carrier is performing best? I don't know if it's manufacturing or, you know, what sectors are you seeing this kind of growth? And if you believe this momentum can continue in 2019?
Yes, Andres. The good thing about Metro Carrier provides the connectivity. Ola provides infrastructure and provides managed services. The one that has the highest growth is Metro Carrier for sure. And the segments that we have is really spread across all the verticals. We have a lot of big corporations. We have SMBs. We have government too. We have hospitality. Hospitality we call hotels, hospitals, in general, that ties and bundle also with video and not only broadband. And you can account in Metro Carrier to have growth in pretty much all of the segments. The one that grows the most is the private enterprises. The let's call it not the big corporation, but one step below those. If you look at SMBs, we are in the medium size enterprises because we sell a lot in all the regions where we are, and not that much to big corporation in Mexico City. We just start doing sales in Mexico City. The rest are being sold in Veracruz, Hermosillo, Culiacán, Morelia, you know, all the regions across Mexico. Those are the type of cities that we're selling. And it's because companies do continue to increase the demand for better services and are paying for broadband on a premium basis and not on a best effort that they used to have before. Our ARPU in Metro Carrier is way lower than other corporate companies, because we reach a little bit lower segment that they have. But we are growing in all the segments, including government, but this quarter that it was a change in the situation for the season, you know, for the 6 year period of the presidency. But pretty much you can count on all of them, and I will say that we will continue to bring those results, even though Luis will kill me for saying that to all of you guys. But I do expect Metro Carrier to continue to bring great results and all the corporate segments for Mega Cable in the coming periods.
Sure, but as the base is larger, for you know, we have been growing really dramatically. We it's difficult to say that we will grow 40% for quarter over quarter for the, you know, as many quarters as you think. We will grow. But of course, it will be, you know, 35, 32, 31. So it's going to be like that. But yes, there are still impressive growth ahead for Metro Carrier.
I told you Luis was going to correct my assumption, but I hope the answer was there, Andres. Thank you for the question.
Well, that's very impressive. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll move to Diego Aragao with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. In fact, it's a follow-up. I just want to get your thoughts regarding the incremental opportunity for cable in Mexico. As during the quarter, video and broadband net adds decelerated when compared to the past few quarters, and total RGUs growth was also driven by voice users. So I'm curious to understand what is the economics of these voice users that you guys are adding, especially because this seems like a trend, not only for you, but also for other cable companies in Mexico at this point. So that would be my first question. Thank you.
Yes, Diego, like we said, we look at ourselves, telephony comes on the hand of the higher penetration that we have in broadband and video. And also every single people that acquire our triple play, of course, comes with telephony, so increasing the base of that product. The opportunity comes because the penetration, like we were telling Andres, we need to see those numbers, the penetration of triple play services in Mexico, we consider them to be still low. Every year, the market continues to grow at a lower rate, but continues to grow, and we expect that to be in the years to come until we reach a maturity. We have not reached maturity in Mexico. In the cities where we have broadband, penetration of broadband, that number could be correct, is around 61 to 62% in the urban cities where we are, you know, while pay TV is a little lower than that, is still the market growth year over year. The slowness that we have in the third quarter came, we believe, because of the seasonality affected by, well, seasonality in a part, economic in the other, political situation, weather condition, the after World Cup, and everything. Our growth ad could not reach the level that we wanted, and our churn increased because of the seasonality that we have. That makes the slowness of that. Also, the market, I won't lie to you, is not growing. Broadband was growing 15% years ago, was growing 8% years, the past 1 or 2 years. Now it's growing at a lower pace, but this is still growing. Yeah. Even video for us in the markets where we are is growing at a very low margin, but it's growing. The other condition is that we don't want to say or write too much about that, but we, when the market was growing 8%, Megacable was growing 15 or 20. You know, now the market is growing less, but we continue to provide a big growth of broadband and increasing our product. So one is market that we continue to see a market growth, and the other one is company performance, which I believe we have done a decent job in increasing our subscriber base in that part. So we're confident that we will provide good numbers in the future. Like Luis said, it will never be, 80% MetroCarrier or 40% MetroCarrier. I hope to keep 40, but it might be 30 or 35. But will be great results on that part. And massive market will continue to bring those revenues and evidence that you've seen so far.
That's very helpful. Thank you for that. And the second question, it's more on the strategic side. We are now seeing some cable and FTTH companies, including OTT platforms like Netflix, Amazon Prime, on the offers. So I just want you to get your views about it. I mean, do you feel comfortable competing with them with your own digital platform, or would you eventually consider to partner with some of those players? Thank you.
Well, we don't see, I mean, those guys obviously are like, some kind of competition for us in the pay TV industry, but we see them in the future as part of our service. We don't think that customers will stick with just one service and one provider like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Google TV or, those. I mean, there is still a lot of product that will be in the linear platform, and what we are doing is is turning the linear platform that we have into a BOD platform. So we're providing our customers with the capability of streaming the video and look at the programming that he wants to see whenever he wants to see it in any device. What we foresee in the future is that the customer will have an integrator that will provide all the data and the information of where the content he wants to look at is available. And we will have those platforms available for them. That's what we see in the coming years. We don't, in Netflix will become a service like HBO. That's what we see. You know, so people will have their basic plus their premiums plus their preferred OTT or premium providers other than the basic that they have, and that's what we foresee, and that's how we see that the transformation of the television and content distribution is going to be.
I love to say that what we see strategically, it's a big opportunity for us to increase the usage of video across all our subscribers, like Enrique said, has been the right integrator for all the different OTT providers. All those OTT providers are content providers to the subscriber, to the broadband or video subscriber, whatever you want to call it. Our technology is ready to launch and to integrate all of them into a single platform that can provide service through the set-top box for the TV or through an app over the top on an OTT to mobile device. And the good thing is that all our analytics and all our recommendation engines and the performance and the user interface, those integrate the best of HBO with the best of Netflix and the best of Google into a single platform. So we're very excited. We just finished our yearly convention with our key managers of the company, and our view is that there is a big opportunity for us to integrate those services, and that's what the company has, the NGV platform with the XView. The second step of the NGV XView is that one exactly, to have one single interface that will provide on every set-top box, the integration of all the content providers, making powerful, easy to manage, friendly user. So we're excited on that. Of course, that comes on the hand of a good network, and that's why we're investing a lot into having the best broadband and video network in the last mile like we have right now. So we're very clear on that strategic situation, Diego.
Yeah, no, that's really, really interesting, guys. Look, I would love to debate this more. Thank you very much for the answer.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, simply press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We'll pause momentarily to allow additional questions to queue.
Okay.
And it appears we have no further questions. I'll go ahead and turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for any closing comments or remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. As always, it is a pleasure to discuss our results with you all. We will continue working to end the year on a high note as we have been doing each quarter. Our focus remains on following on execution of the outlined strategy for the following years and in generating continuous investor value. Please contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company. Have a wonderful afternoon and a nice weekend. Thank you.
And again, thank you for everything. And we see a lot of opportunities for the company. And regarding something we did not mention, regarding government policies, if we can, and we do feel that the minimum wage of the people in Mexico could increase, like it's been promised, broadband video will increase as well, and we will have happier and better subscriber base. So thank you a lot for the confidence in the management, the organization, the company, and open for any question in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.